Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Chasen Callahan, and he is the lead of a group called, I think it's Chasen, aptly named.
That's right, dude. Absolutely. But you know, most people, they would ask me that, like, what does Chasen mean as the band? Like, it was this something else. And at the time, we toured with David Crowder, the David Crowder band, before he was Crowder. And I would say, well, have you ever heard of David Crowder, like David Crowder band? They're like, oh, yeah. Okay, so my name is Chasen, and these guys are our band. So that's where Chasen comes from. But yes, I am the front guy, founder, leader of Chasen, and we have been on a journey. Let's just say that, to say the least, for sure.
Well, the last time I saw you as Chasen was April 29th of 2010. Throwing it way back. Like, specifically,
let's
even
go,
the date,
bro.
I remember it to the day.
Yeah.
Because I looked it up yesterday.
That's awesome. Okay, I got you. That's good. That's good.
It was in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Oh, man, yes.
I think it was a youth trip that we did.
Man, I love the West. I would consider that West Coast. I don't even know if is it considered West Coast or is it Midwest? Is that
by
how
a
you?
Long shot. It's Midwest.
Okay, okay. Okay. Well, for us, because I'm in either Nashville or South Carolina. So those are my homes. And so for me to go to Wyoming was like, we're headed west, young man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're doing. I remember buckling up and getting in either a bus or a van, old school, and just hitting the road hard. And if we were doing Wyoming, Colorado, Wyoming, anything there west, that's where I would, you know, I loved it. My family's from Oregon. So, like, I'm a Southern boy, but half of my family is from Philomath, Oregon. I love the west. But, that's going way back, bro.
It's going
2010.
Way back. I think a bunch of the youth group loaded in the van or to a bus.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I think we actually chartered a bus to go to this. It was a Cutlass's It Is Well tour.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
You were with
the
museum as well, I believe.
Yeah. Dude, absolutely. Yeah, the museum, us, and Cutlass. Yeah, dude. I just actually talked to a couple of the Cutlass guys not too long ago, like last week or so. We were talking about that tour, and we had the same management. So anytime that we were like in limbo of tours, you know, or like we're like, hey, let's do a tour together. Let's just keep it. So that we did tours probably three times together, like big tours, you know. We fell in love with those guys in the museum. The museum's from sort of our neck of the woods. They were in an Atlanta area, I believe, but they're still doing some worship out here. That's what I think after all these years.
Yeah, I was looking back. It's like, man, what song was it that was on the radio? Like, I would know it as soon as I heard it, but to try and think of the name of the song just completely escaped me. Now that I say that,
yeah. It
escaped me again. I saw that they did have some new stuff coming out. You have some new stuff coming out. Rumor is Cutlass has some new stuff coming out in the near future, but that's been a rumor for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so exciting to see, you know, all you guys starting to come back out. That's 11 years ago, if my math is right now, and just seeing
that's
some
right.
of that
yeah.
come back
yeah.
around
yeah.
some of that music that I loved from, you know, just a previous season of life, you know, and that show, like I wasn't able to stop by the booths and meet because we all loaded back up in the bus and it was a 2-hour drive home after that. So that's the only reason why we're doing this podcast
here is because
I wasn't able to like actually sit by the table and meet you. It took 11 years to do this, but.
Dude, that's awesome. Hey, but we're here, dude, together. All right. You said it, like I'm excited about this new season, at least for me. And I know some of the guys in Cutlass they're doing different things now, you know, and even the guys from the Afters and people like that, like we've all been around for a while, but we sort of have taken different positions in churches. We've been a part of nonprofits and we're trying to figure out like are we still on the same path that God is calling us to, you know? And some people are like, no, not at all. They go and do their own thing. And for me, the past 10 years or 11 years, because I would say between 2010 and 2012 was what I would call, I would say like I peaked or we peaked. We had multiple number ones on the radio and like we were touring. One year I toured 285 or 84 performances in one year.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's cause for burnout. That's cause for like, there's so many things that caused, but I felt like that was what I was supposed to do. And a lot of the band, I'm getting vulnerable with you, but I mean, I think, let's see, over this past summer was the first time that me and all of the Chasing guys actually talked together for the first time in probably 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
And we live, all of us but Jared, our bass player, and he lived for the longest time here. We all live in the same area within 20 minute drive, but we didn't talk. It was sad, but it was also a good breather for everybody too, because I mean, you get stuck in a bus, you get stuck in a van with a bunch of dudes for a long time and you try your best. All of us had struggles. All of us had desires and different wants to do certain things and to do life with our families a certain way. But we really couldn't because we were committed to, you know, the band and to what we would consider the ministry. Once we decided to call it, not quits, but just for lack of a better term, quits, we just went our own separate ways. And I've always been involved with the church, and I've been with this church that I'm sitting in right now for 21 years. I've been a part of this specific church, and I've networked with other churches throughout the years too. But coming back into this, I have a new album coming out, and I'm sure you'll talk about it, but it was actually supposed to be released last year in 2020 because it was going to be a 10-year ordeal since That Was Then, This Is Now came out, which had On and On and Castaway and all those on it. It was supposed to be a 10-year, hooray, you know, you're coming back or whatever. But it didn't work out. And I wish I could say it was COVID because everything else is that, too, you know, but I can't use that. I can't use it because it just wasn't time. We weren't ready. And everything that I do now sort of filters through the church and the church's mission, even touring. Everything it flows to the church. And we weren't there. We weren't there. So that's why 2021, and I'm talking to you today, we're slowly starting to leak all the stuff that we have planned, just getting back in it. And I honestly feel like I'm starting over, if I'm being honest. Like, I really do, from the very beginning. And it's a weird feeling, but it's also a really cool feeling, too.
We've talked on the podcast a bit some about seasons, and it's just crazy how different seasons just change your perspective. And I mean, just even I gotta go there, it's the haircuts from the 2010s. Like, there's a certain like haircut, there's a certain look, dude, for the Christian rock artist. I know Nick DiPartee from Cutlass at the time was rocking the same haircut, man. I'm trying to think of some of the other names, but yeah, I mean, like, you see some of the band photos from 2010 and like that's instant like Christian rock band, no doubts about it.
You know it. I actually got a text today. It's funny you say this. I got a text today that it was just the picture of the album, like back then, you know, that with my hair, it was long, you know, and it was a group chat. And someone said, why do you look so sad? You know? And I'm like, bro, that was 2010, man. Come on. That was part of our DNA. And if you look at Nick, man, Nick shaved his head, bro. I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he's like, no, I'm out. He got rid of that quick. And I'm not like, look, dude, I don't know if you can see me, but it's not short, but it's shorter, way shorter than what it was back in 2010.
You look back at some of the photos of yourself, and our parents always talked about this from like old yearbook photos. Like, we'd always make fun of them for like 70s or 80s hairdos and all that. And now it's starting to creep back around to us.
Yeah.
Like, we look at some old pictures of us and we're like,
yeah,
what was I doing?
I say that daily.
Like, I remember in sophomore in high school, I decided it was a cool idea to bleach my hair.
Dude, yes. I did the same thing. Actually, when I met my wife, I had bleach blonde hair. It was really short too, but I went through a season where bleach blonde hair was a thing. Like, you had to do it.
So since we're going down that route, this is our squirrel ADD moment, but I did want to talk about about meeting your wife. You have a funny meeting your wife story that I heard from one of your sermons. I think it was Valentine's Day, as I was just searching around.
Oh, cool.
So I definitely want to hear this story, because any embarrassing how I met my wife stories are just awesome, because I'm part of that too.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so my wife, the short end of it is that me and my wife met at church, but it was at a VBS. There's several stories about how I met my wife and all that, so I'm hoping I'm telling you the right one. But the VBS one is that she came in and she was with my little brother. So my little brother was a part of his crew, or for her crew. I had the role of a pharaoh. Okay. So I had this hat on, like it was a janky, like crazy looking hat. I came out and I met her on the stage with like my full suit up. And I was thinking, she's this beautiful woman, right? And here I am going, man, I'm dressed up like a clown right now. But what was crazy is my brother, she didn't know it was my brother. The story is that she was talking to her friends about who I was, even though I looked crazy and silly and stupid. And my brother caught on to that and said, hey, that's my brother. And she was like, really? They started talking about that. And then we had so many different weird opportunities. She tried to set me up with somebody else, dude. Oh, no. It was so funny. Like, she tried setting me up because she didn't, I don't know her side of it, but she thought that she didn't have a chance. I said, girl, do you remember what I looked like when you first met me? I mean, I looked like I came out of, you know, a John Chris video of him making fun of Bible characters. Okay. So like, that's what I look like. So yeah, man, so we've been married for 18 years, dude, 18 years this past September. Hopefully that was the right story that I was supposed to tell you, but we got so many of them.
We'll fact check that later. We'll verify that with the wife after the fact.
Here. Okay. Yeah. 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 There you go. There you go. All right.
So I've got to tell mine just because we're telling weird wife embarrassing. I met my wife stories. We were actually at church camp. We grew up in different towns in Wyoming, but they all went to the same church camp. I think this is my second year. I went as a counselor. She was on the fence between going as a camper or counselor. She went as a camper just to be with friends.
Yeah.
And she came in and everybody's like, oh man, this is the cutest chick here. You know, there's kind of the buzz about her.
Yeah.
And a couple days later, she was, she wasn't feeling well. And so we're in the kitchen. My grandparents were working in the kitchen. So I was in there a lot and she was in there. Her mom was in there. She was eating, kind of trying to stay away from everybody because she just wasn't feeling well and all that. So I asked her, do you need anything more? You know, are you good? Anything like that? She kind of looks at me just like I'm the weirdest person on the planet. She looks at me like, sure, I guess you can eat it. You can finish. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not that weird guy. And that's how I met my wife.
You're the weird guy. That's
Hawker food.
Oh my gosh, dude. I think everybody, except for celebrities, has a just awkward moment. You know what I mean? Everybody has those awkward moments. They have to, right? Yeah. We're not the only two that have that.
Definitely not the only two, but I definitely feel like if it had to go one way or the other, whether it being smooth or being awkward, it would definitely fall on the awkward side for me. Like, that's pretty much a guarantee.
I hear you, dude. Yeah.
So 18 years, you guys met at the church that you're actually at right now. Marathon in...
Yeah, we're in Greenville. That's the address, is Greenville. So it's one of the top 8 fastest growing cities or towns in the country right now. But we're in a little suburb called Powdersville, right outside of Greenville. So 10 minutes from downtown Powdersville, South Carolina.
And so that was where, you know, this VBS happened. And then now, you know, 21 years later, you're a next gen pastor.
Yeah, dude.
And 18 years, just thinking about the seasons and the life that's gone through that. I remember you guys talking about in that Valentine's episode, just those early years as you were working with, or when you were touring with Chase, and you know, in the multiple days you're out on the road, there wasn't the online banking, so there's a lot of kind of disconnection there. Not just online banking, but you know, like FaceTime, just all the stuff that we take for granted right now just wasn't there, you know. So there's that element of disconnection. Can you talk about just kind of how those seasons have gone through over the last, was that now 10 years?
Yeah, man, it was super rocky. I would say in 2011, it got to a point where I didn't know my wife. I had no idea who I married. I didn't see her. I had two kids in 2011. We had two kids. I did not see their first steps. There wasn't, like, even right now, you know, sort of podcasting, Zoom call, like, there was none of that. You know, that wasn't a thing necessarily. Online banking, we had two separate accounts. It was just tons of things, like you just said, that were very disconnected. And you throw in the mix of just never being there, that was hard. And so when I came off the road and only like did Christian conferences or barely anything, we would come home, and with the kids, they would have to be, you know, they'd have to be disciplined in some way, or, you know, just parenting, so to speak. And my kids would look at Casey, my wife, and go, do I need to listen to this guy? Like, seriously, who is this guy? So that it put a lot of stress and like just uncertainty and unhappiness in me, and a lot of baggage that I didn't even realize that I had and that I allowed in my life, and a lot of just mistakes in my life that I've held on to. It came out, like, it was just like, I can't do this anymore. And we've got to figure this out. So, and I think I might've said it in that sermon that I spoke in February, you're referring to, is, I mean, we had to go to counseling. Our marriage was on the rocks. It was not good, but man, I look back and I see how loyal my wife was and how determined I was to turn it around and how ultimately good God was to both of us, and revealing what we once had, bringing it back and making it fresh in our lives. It definitely wasn't easy by no means, but I would say in the last 10 years, we have rebuilt and regrown our family, our relationship. We do ministry together still to this day. And she's more a part of my music career now than she ever was. Me and her, we go and do kids camps, and we do, when I speak or when I do shows, we specifically fly her out, or, you know, she's with us when we go. We have three kids now total. And my last one was, she's two. And everything in this season has been not starting over, but it's reminding me we serve a God of multiple chances. I don't care what your background looks like. I don't care if you feel like you've done too much or you've gone too far. There is no way. Scripture tells us that nothing can pluck us from the Father's hand. And man, have I witnessed that firsthand. And with me and my wife, there's a new song on the record called I'm So Grateful that I wrote with Matt Hammett. He had a song called Lead Me that was pretty big with Sanctus Real. I was telling him, just updating him on my story when I was in Nashville one day. He said, and we should write something. I said, yeah, I think you're right. And he said, well, what would you say about that season of your life? And I said, that I'm so grateful. That's how that all began, because this season has been really tough, really uncertain, but it has forced me to draw near to God. As I know, and as all of us know, Scripture says, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so, man, I hope I'm not just rambling on. I just feel like there is so much to unpack in this season that we would be here for days. But I would say it's been very painful. But through the pain, I've rediscovered not just my purpose, but our purpose as a family, our purpose as a couple, and our purpose as ministry workers. I really have. And it's been amazing to watch it sort of ignite again.
I know as music consumers a lot, we kind of tend to think like it's a glamorous lifestyle. You get to tour around, you get to go see all these cities, play the music all day, every day. And I know there's just, I think once you peel back the curtain a little bit, there's a lot more to the story that happens. And I'm not saying that that's everybody that thinks that, or a lot of people can have the understanding, but you know, it's just easy to think just as a consumer of the music, as we hit on play on Spotify or, you know, wherever it is, that we kind of have this automatic assumption that comes with it. And it kind of breaks me every time I hear, you know, those kind of stories. You just finding that balance. And Matt Hammett actually was talking about that in an episode. My goodness, I don't remember how long ago that was. But I mean, he was talking just about that same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it breaks your heart every time because you just see the real life and the people that are bearing out their real life, just the sacrifices mm-hmm. that ministry can have if you don't really truly find that balance.
You have to, man. In that song, I'm So Grateful, like the second verse that says, I thought I lost my voice. It's sort of like the story of Job, where he had pretty much everything taken from him. And it wasn't because I did this huge sin, or it was just like literally wear and tear on my family, and garbage just destroyed us. I know he never left us, obviously, but we're all human. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how much money you have. We're all human, and we're all spiritual beings that he created, and we're all flawed. I mean, that's the thing, is that we all are flawed. That's why we need God. And so, man, it breaks my heart too to hear some of, I mean, I have friends in the industry that, you know, this whole deconstruction thing. I hear stories about that. I hear stories of marriages that aren't together anymore. And man, you're right. It breaks my heart as well. And there is a balance that you have to make a priority, I guess you'd say.
And it's not just, you know, the music and that kind of ministry. You know, you can see it all the way down into your local church too, you know, whether somebody's always there volunteering, like anytime the doors are open, they're there volunteering. And, or, you know, pastors sometimes have that, whether it's from the church itself or whether it's self-imposed, you know, that feeling of responsibility that they always have to be on, and that balance just isn't there. I mean, it's more visible when it's an artist, someone who has a stage, a platform, but it's so easy, you know, just in a personal, just even the guy who opens the door at church. I mean, it could be just that. If that balance isn't there, you may be doing something great and ministry minded and ministry oriented, but if that balance isn't there, it can be unhealthy just the same.
That's totally true. I mean, we see people all the time in our church that are broken and beaten, and a lot of it comes down to the balance and priorities. Like I said, we're all flawed, dude. So we're bound to make a mistake at some point, whether that's on a vast scale or if it's something small that just eats you away. Like my good buddy Mark, he from Cast and Crowns, he had that song many years ago, Slow Fade. That was sort of me, is that slow fade of watching it through the years and not taking it serious.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about your ministry now. Like I said, Next Gen Pastor at your church there, and then the new music, the new album that's, I think it's out by this point.
It is, man.
I know, I've listened to it.
Yeah, man, I've gotten super solid response from this album. And Jason, as far as the band, those guys are doing their own thing. And Jared Barber, the bass player, he actually played, I think, 7 songs on this album. So it was great to rekindle some of that. And you can tell I've missed his playing over the years. But a lot of it is my church. And a lot of it is songs that I wrote with Spencer Zook, who, what's funny is during the road life that he was with me in Wyoming, he was my guitar tech. When I came off the road, I came back to the church and eventually ended up giving Spencer the worship pastor position so I can focus on the next generation and those areas. But the album came out. It's called The Great Unknown. It's on Spotify and Apple Music and everywhere. I was not expecting the welcome back as much as I have. Like, it's been cool to see. So we have like 300,000 streams on Apple Music or something like that. And then 30,000 on the album alone in Spotify. Like, it just came out. And so you got to understand, I know there's like bunches of people that, like, I looked at Phil Wickham the other day, and he's got like multi-million streams or whatever. But you got to understand, like, I took a hiatus of about 8 years really completely out. Even though it's been 11 years since my last release, it's been 8 years of hearing nothing on the music industry side from Chase and Callie. There's a collection of songs that I've written over the past 8 years and some beyond, from some of that pain we just talked about, some of that heartache, taking some of those things. And when I went to Nashville, I got with a new producer. He's a younger dude and he's hungry. Like, he's ready to make a difference in the world through his gift. And I said, man, let me introduce you to this song called Running. If you like it and you think it's worth something, let's do it. And if we click, then let's make an album. And I had the church together, you know, to see if we can make it happen. And sure enough, man, God's opened plenty of doors. And his name is Carter. He's worked with a bunch of new guys now. And then 10th Avenue North's guy, Mike Donahue, that's how I found out about him, is just talking with him and seeing what he was doing. And all of a sudden he's got this new thing coming out, because 10th Ave, you know, they're not a band anymore. Me and Carter did Running, and it's been awesome ever since. So it's 13 songs, believe it or not. 12 of them are brand new, like, as far as recording. The 13th one is like a bonus track called Heartbeat Symphony. I released that many, many years ago. Or I didn't release it, but I recorded it many years ago. That, I just felt like the song is called, or the album is called, The Great Unknown. Jake, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect out of this. I know that I've done 3 shows this year, and since 2012, I'm getting flying out here in a little bit to do Kansas, and they've been awesome. They've been so amazing, and I'm praying that God finds favor on it in a way that, when it all started, these songs, yes, they're my songs that I, you know, obviously recorded, and I keep hearing just God's voice say, these songs are for specific people that I know that you do not. And so I want you to record them. I'll handle putting it in their ears. You just be the voice, the gift that I gave you. You record it and I'll handle the rest. More than anything, I want to love on people. This world is messed up. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the lack of hope in the world. We have the best news ever. And it doesn't matter politically where you fall. It doesn't matter where you stand on anything, except for there is hope for everybody. We have the good news of Jesus, and we can share that. And he goes with us into this great unknown. And that's these songs, man, on this album. That's what I want to share with people, is that this is unknown territory for America right now, where we are, and for the world even. I just feel like the people need to hear love and hope and compassion. And that's what I hope that people hear. And what's cool is, I told you I was a talker. So what's cool is, I am the next gen pastor here, but through this process, we have decided collectively, I'm one of the main guys on staff here that sort of help take vision to different departments and stuff. And it's actually broadening huge, to where I'm actually probably going to step into a role of pastor of outreach and evangelism. And I take what we do at the church and put it out there globally, put it out there locally, communally, or whatever. And so, like, me and my wife with these kids camps and stuff, our heart here at the church is not to be four walls, but to be the body of Christ and to get outside the four walls. That includes Chasing Music. So, like, Chasing Music, Marathon Worship, you know, we've got some other things in the works and pushing that out. And then we got some new campuses coming up, and the way we do campuses is completely different than what other churches do campuses. So I don't know, man, there's so much stuff that started with this album release, and I just would love for people to hear it so they can sort of get the same heartbeat behind this conversation.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, just really appreciate you taking the time and telling your story here.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.